Whenever you take on a new devotion, it's going to be painful. Like, for example, getting up early in the morning rather than sleeping in, or maybe actually praying a little bit before bed rather than just crawling into bed. Okay? But the pain of knowing who you are not is greater than the pain that's involved of becoming who you are to be. So the pain of knowing who you are not by giving up on these things is going to eventually be greater than the pain of just doing the things that are going to help you become the person you're called to be. So just do it, you know?
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on another episode here at The Catholic Gentleman. We are your hosts. I'm John Heinen. We've got Devin Schott and we've got Sam Guzman. We're so grateful that you have decided to join us. We hope you get a lot out of this episode. In this episode today, we are going to talk about 8 pillars that you need as a man to accomplish greatness in life. We are going to talk about 4 of them on this live public edition. And then in the extended edition, we're going to go through an additional 4 to make it a total of 8. So if you're joining us, we hope you get a lot out of these first 4 here on the public edition. If you like what we're talking about, you can head over to Catholic Gentleman Plus and you can get that full extended edition with all 8. At Catholic Gentleman Plus, which is our membership program, we come out with extended editions of the podcast episode every single week. We also come out with monthly sessions. This month, we're talking about St. Joseph. We've got guest experts. Sam and I both have conversations and detailed things. We have prayers and ascetical practices and things like that that are happening every single month inside of that group. There are hundreds and hundreds of men over there. We're so grateful for them joining us and for their support. And we hope you do as well. Women, mothers, wives, if you like what we're talking about, we have a way for you to support us, to help us get to more men, to help create a culture of men that are willing to do that and step into their God-given manly roles here in our society, which we so desperately need. Head over to catholicgentleman.com/support. You can give there. It really does all the dollars used towards marketing and towards helping get this out further. So again, thanks for everybody and joining us. Thanks for all of our donors and our supporters, and on to the show, right? So to kind of set the stage here, we had a great episode where we talked about sabotaging your own success. And in that, we said, hey, if you head over to Catholic Gentleman Plus, you're going to get all 8 of these pillars. And because we're all long-winded, we ended up only getting through 4 of them. And I heard from a couple of our members at Catholic Gentleman Plus that they were bereft. They felt one of them stated that it was kind of like the book was misprinted and like halfway through it was just blank pages, right? Because we didn't get through all of them. And I'm grateful for that. And honestly, we're doing this show for you guys, period. I mean, that's what it is. And so in doing it for you, we thought, you know what? Let's talk about all 8 of these. Let's go through those 4, those first 4 here on the public edition and then the last 4 on the extended edition. But this doesn't just come out of like something that we thought of last week or 2 weeks ago and said, hey, let's make up 8 pillars so that we can call it 8 pillars and we can get a lot of clicks and engagements. It's something that Devin's actually been working on for many years. He's been working on his rule. And within that rule, it's got these pillars, but it's got these subsects, and it's actually giving a roadmap of life that's not just a short, brief 30 days here, 90 days here, but something that is like going to guide you as a man throughout your life. And the things that we always have to be working on to better ourselves, to become perfect in Christ and to become the men that our society, our families, and ourselves need. So Devin, why don't you share a little bit of those details about your work on the rule and what got you into that direction?
Yeah, sure. I think that, well, first of all, I think most of us men really want to be excellent. We want to achieve honors. We want to be successful, but most of us lack order. We lack control. We lack mastery over our life. And so there's a tendency in most of us to blame our extenuating circumstances, the external factors and influences. And we say, that's what's happening. And we won't even say that we're failing. We'll just say that's the reason why. And so blaming excuses actually allow us not to take responsibility for our life. But we know on Judgment Day, God doesn't blame others for our salvation or for our condemnation. It's ours. We have to own it, right? And so people blame their externals for lack of success all the time. I don't have a job because there's no good jobs out there. I can't save money because the economy's bad. My marriage stinks because my wife's selfish. Or I'm a bad dad because my kids disrespect me, or I lust because all these women dress this way. And I get that there's a both and to this. There are external extenuating circumstances that we have no control over. But what we do have control over is our response to them and our ability to work with them and to overcome them. That is, in a sense, in our control. And so I think that really what drove me to write the rule was I discovered in my life I was lacking four things. And I saw this a lot in college. I would sleep in till noon. I would skip classes. I lived a very addictive lifestyle, partying at night, late, drinking, binging. And all of that just gave me this unsettling fundamental disquiet that I wanted to be more, but I didn't know how. And I think what I recognized was I was lacking four things. Ultimately, I was lacking a purpose, which is a standard, the banner you carry in front of yourself for the rest of your life. This is why I exist. And then the principles, which are these eight principles we're going to share today, of how to live out that purpose. And then you have a plan, that's the third P, to implement these principles in your life. But that plan necessitates that it has practices. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's daily practices, weekly practices, and monthly practices. So you can have a great purpose, but if you lack the principles to achieve it, it's going nowhere. You can have a great purpose and the principles, but if you don't have a plan for that end goal, you're not going to win. And if you don't have the practices that allow you to participate in that plan, that's the fifth P, that plan is useless. So it's all about taking responsibility for our life and then creating a schedule for our life, which we call the rule of life. And then we can begin to experience God's power in our life. And so that's what led me to this. And I truly believe it works.
Agreed. No, I really appreciate that. And I think that it gives men a framework. And I think that's what's so important. And honestly, everything we talk about here on The Catholic Gentleman in some way, shape, or form fits within all of these pillars or principles that we're going to talk about, because it is the essence of life, right? And it's something that we are all working on. And I honestly think it helps us not get off track, where we often find ourselves lack of clarity and what we should be doing to achieve X, Y, and Z, but at the same time wanting to do God's will and then wanting to hear God's will, but you know, at the same time kind of being disgusted with ourselves because, like, all these different things of blaming others or not being able to achieve the success that we're looking for. And we just are kind of floundering in that battle between the ways of the world and the attachments to the world and the ways of God, and then trying to make sense of it all. And so I'm really glad that we can do that here. And so I want to encourage all men in this idea of a framework is to, if you're listening to this, pull out a journal, pull out a piece of paper, pull out an envelope that you're not going to use anymore that came in with some junk mail, and put down three different columns on it, daily, weekly, and monthly. And as you're going through it, let's start creating in our minds how these things are going to fit through. Now, each of these pillars or principles that we're going to talk about, we can literally do multiple podcast episodes on them, and we actually kind of already have and already do. But this one is going to be a framework. This one's going to be that guidance through these things. And so hopefully we'll be able to get through them all. Devin, you were going to say something?
Well, yeah, just at the top of your page, put a D for daily, put a W for weekly, and put an M for monthly. And then on the left-hand column, just be ready to write down these eight principles and give space by each of them so you can jot down some notes and then mark the practices that you want to put in your daily, weekly, monthly columns.
Perfect. Perfect. So great. So moving right along, the first pillar is going to be the devotional life, right? And I know Sam has a lot of incredible things to say about the devotional life. And since I've been talking a lot, I'm going to just quickly pass it over to you, Sam, and talk about this first principle, this foundation of everything, which is the devotional life for men.
Yeah. So devotional life to me is, it's all about cultivating love or devotion. And if you look at the relationship with the great figures in Scripture, the kind of the heroes of Scripture, but also the saints through all time, what motivated them, what drove them, what was like this burning fire in their heart was love for God. But that didn't come from nowhere. It came from devotional practices that they daily cultivated, that love for God, and fanned those sparks into flames, right? Like, and to me, I like this image of fire because it's one that's, first of all, relatable for us as men. Like, we all like fire. I think every man's a pyromaniac at some level, at least looking at my own life or my boys, right? Like,
I am.
yeah. But there's this idea of like feeding a fire or building a fire, right? And even if you're building a campfire, it's like you put these really thin, like almost like pencil lead thin sticks in the middle. And then you get a little thicker, like maybe finger length sticks. And then you kind of go to something like the length of your arm or the width of your arm, all the way out to like a big log. And those little practices in the middle, though, are what communicate that fire outwards to the bigger logs and help them catch fire as well. And so for me, devotion is those, it's like those little scraps of wood and those little practices that we're putting in our life day by day that are cultivating this flame in our hearts of love for God. And that can be as simple as like a spontaneous prayers that you pray throughout the day, like, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Or, you know, the church actually has a whole treasury of like these little prayers that you say throughout the day that are simple, short. They're like a little arrow that you fire off, you know, but devotion to me, it's all about cultivating love. What cultivates love in your heart for God? And then doing that and doing it consistently, even if it's something very, very small. And so, yeah, that's the heart of devotion to me.
Yeah, no, that's such beautiful imagery. I really appreciate that, Sam. And I like how you went right to love. That's what I had noted here, right, is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like onto this, right, to love your neighbor as yourself, first being to love God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul, and strength. And so you're spot on. That's exactly it. But what a great way of saying that these little daily devotionals or these little daily practices are really just that. The twigs that are going to set flame for the wholeness of who we are, because it does so happen that you'll get, you know, I prayed the rosary or I did, you know, this certain devotional practice and I didn't really experience, you know, something. Well, it's like, well, yeah, we need to build up a lot more of these tiny little twigs, right, to really get this flame going and get this heat going. So, Sam, were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, just that, little things done consistently are far more potent than big things done sporadically. Like I think the 15-decade rosary is incredibly powerful. And there's been many times when I'm like, I'm going to do that every day. And then I make it one day and I fall off the bandwagon, right? Because it takes almost an hour. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a big chunk of time. But what's much more like one Hail Mary and one Our Father said consistently, I think does more for that devotional life than those big gestures, you know, like I'm going to go pray a holy hour three times a day, you know, or something like that, where it's like, you're probably not going to succeed at that, but consistency breeds strength. Consistency builds strength, even if it's something very small done repeatedly. So just, and I think that's an important piece of this is that be consistent, even if it's something very small.
Amen. And I would just like to add, men, while you're listening to this, you're going to hear a lot of great things. You're going to hear a lot of comments based off of three men who've been working on this for years and years and years and years and are still working on this. And so we encourage you to, yeah, not expect yourself to be a saint tomorrow or even a few weeks or a few months, you know, God willing, by the end of your life, right? Because that's what we're pursuing. So, Devin, what other thoughts do you have about the devotional life to make sure we get this right before we move on to practices?
Okay, yeah. So if we look to the why, you know, why should we be devoted to God? Why should we love God? Well, Matthew, I believe is chapter 6, somewhere in there, 33 maybe, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things will be granted to you besides. So God wants to share his glory, his power, all things. Psalm 8 talks about this. All things are placed under man's feet by God, honor and glory, all of that. So God wants to share that with us, but there's a caveat, there's a qualifier. We've got to seek him first. And then these things will be granted unto us. And why? Because he wants to give us himself primarily. Everything else is icing on the cake. And we realize that as we get in the devoted life, but for a lot of people, there needs to be a little bit of motivation that's temporal, right? But then the other thing is if I don't know myself, if I don't have an understanding of my mission, I need to spend time with the one who does, with the one who created me, with the one who's destined me for greatness. And so I love Jesus in Mark 1. He gets up before the dawn. He goes to the desert place and he prays to his father in secret. I love Saint Joseph, who when he's taking the dilemma of Mary and her pregnancy before God, God discloses his identity and mission. And so this is in prayer. This is where we receive consultation and the guidance from God to be everything that we're called to be. And so this prayer and devoted life, devotional life, is the very foundation. So on the other hand, if I cannot sacrifice my sleep, and if I can't sacrifice some morning time to be with God, it demonstrates that I'm not seeking him first. And therefore, unfortunately, we incapacitate, in a sense, God from giving himself to us. And so we want God's wisdom and power to act in our life. And God tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so for me, by having this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, I begin to know him, I begin to become like him. And ironically, even though he may grant me success in temporal matters, that becomes kind of on the back burner. That's no longer as important or even close to as important as just becoming like him and knowing him. And so that's where I begin with the devotional life, is like, God wants to share his glory with us, but he can't do that if we're not connected with him.
Yeah, I want to just add to it that our goal of the devotional life is a relationship with Christ, is a relationship with God, relationship with the Holy Ghost. This is the why it's so foundational for our lives. God, who holds us into existence, this very moment, this very being that you're listening to this, he's holding every cell, every fiber in your body into existence and maintaining it such. And because of the words of Christ and because of the teachings of the church, we understand that Christ wants a relationship with us. And frankly, if this is not your center of everything, then you're miscentered. You're disordered in your life. And so this has to be the foundational guide for it. And I liked what you talked about, waking up early and sacrificing some of your sleep so that you can get up. I do think that this is a perfect way for us to turn into practices and how we can live out these devotional lives, right? And so when I see the devotional life, even maybe a little bit more expansive, like our spiritual life as a whole, and I see that we've got these daily practices, but we also have these weekly practices. We do have the sacraments that we can turn to. We do have consecrations that maybe happen annually, right? Or reconsecrations to St. Joseph or to our Blessed Mother that you do annually. And then we also have those which maybe you're going to, certain sacraments that you're going to put into monthly, right? Or every other week or something like that, depending on where you're at spiritually and maturely, or in maturity within your spiritual life. So, Sam, what are some of the practices that you feel can help build those little sticks to create that flame, or to create that fire that turns into a transformative effect on us men?
I mean, yeah, for me, it starts morning and evening. Those are like the anchor points of the day. Like, what's your first thought in the morning? What sets the tone for your day? Is it reaching for your phone and scrolling the latest news headlines or checking your email? Or is it a morning offering? Something as simple as a morning offering can be a really powerful way to start your day, because it's offering everything, whatever happens, good, bad, happy, sad, like you're offering it all to God, and to do with as he pleases, to repair your mistakes, to and correct when you make a misstep, but also the things that you do right, you know, and to give honor and glory back to God for all of those things as well. So I think it's morning, and then evening for me is really important. We all, like I've said in previous episodes, we always say family prayers together as a family, but also before I retire as well, there is a reconnection. Keep me as I sleep. You know, I think the saints, if you look at the saints and wise men and women of our Catholic tradition, they kind of make this connection between sleep and death, where there's like every night when you go to sleep, it's like an act of surrender almost. You have to kind of trust that you're going to be okay through the night. And I think in previous times when, you know, there were a lot more dangers prowling the night, like this was really important, right? But there's this sense in which it's like the saints wanted us to remember our death as we fall into sleep. And so I just always say a prayer and trusting my soul to the Lord as I go to sleep. And that it just sets me up for a peaceful, restful night. But then in between that, I mean, there's a whole treasury of devotions, but I think a huge one for me is the rosary. Like just this morning on the way to work, I had to pray the rosary. And actually, if you get used to praying the rosary, it actually, you know, goes pretty quick, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Like we can fit that in, I promise. Like, you know, you spend that much time scrolling times 10, probably, if you really track how much time you spend on your phone. So sacrifice some of that time and pray the rosary instead. And so many saints, I mean, so many saints, so many popes have written encyclicals. You know, our Blessed Mother has come down from heaven to beg us to pray the rosary day in and day out. Like, if you pray, do one devotion, and probably the most fruitful devotion you can engage in, maybe second only to like adoration, is the rosary. So for me, that's like a key pillar of my devotional life. And then throughout the day, those spontaneous prayers are really important to me as well, to bring my mind and heart, refocus them back on God's presence here and now, because He always is present. We just need to bring our awareness and our attention to that reality. And then everything we do can become sacred.
Amen. Well, and I think that your final comment there about these sporadic and spontaneous prayers that we do throughout the day, that was something that, you know, we look at the daily hours or we look at the Angelus and stuff like that. That was by the intent, right? It was to remind people at noon, stop and pray the three Hail Marys, pray the Angelus so that you can recenter your mind and recenter your focus. So I really appreciate that. So, Devin, before we move on to the next pillar, any additional thoughts on practices within the devotional life? I know that there are many. So.
Yeah, just speak into the men, you know, establish your daily practices. So if it's morning meditation time with the Word of God, you know, you got that. If it's the rosary, good. Chaplet of Divine Mercy, good. Maybe evening prayer or rosary, whatever it is, your Angelus, you've got your daily practices right there. Then have your weekly ones, say one holy hour a week, right? That's more of a weekly, or maybe take on another mass, you know, daily mass instead of the Sunday mass. You know, so you've got your weekly, and then monthly, you know, or biweekly, you've got your sacrament of confession, you know, get that in there. And so the idea is jot down these in the category, but I really do think an indispensable part of the devotional life is meditating on the word of Jesus Christ, the words of Jesus Christ in his gospel, and it's so essential. So the Lord spent a lot of time giving us those words. Those words are so important. They're His. So anyway, you just identify your columns, know what's daily, know what's weekly and monthly, and then just take on a couple. Start small with the idea and knowing that you're going to build up. And just one side note here that I think is very important. It's going to be painful. Whenever you take on a new devotion, it's going to be painful. Like, for example, getting up early in the morning rather than sleeping in, or maybe actually praying a little bit before bed rather than just crawling into bed. Okay. But the pain of knowing who you are not is greater than the pain that's involved of becoming who you are to be. So the pain of knowing who you are not by giving up on these things is going to eventually be greater than the pain of just doing the things that are going to help you become the person you're called to be. So just do it, you know?
Yeah, that's great. So moving on to the next pillar here, I think that it's important for us to understand that these build on each other, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why we started with the foundational one, which is the devotional life. And then we go on to the next one, which is the sacrificial life. And these are going to be your mortifications. It's going to be your self-denial. It's the things that I like to talk about is that you're not only sacrificing to control your own passions and desires, but you're sacrificing to love others better. You're sacrificing so that you can better become the man for others, right? I think was it Lumen Gentium that stated, you know, man cannot truly know himself without a sincere gift of himself. And it is in this sacrifice that we're able to learn how to control our emotions and desires, right? Because even within the devotional life, if you're not working on virtues, which the sacrificial life will help you do, and you're not mortifying yourself, then you're still going to be a slave to your passions or your desires. And as I believe Dom Lorenzo Scupoli in his Spiritual Combat stated, that a man who is basically a slave to creatures or a slave to these desires and passions cannot give of himself to others, because he's already in bondage to that which he is a slave to. And I mean, it's real powerful, but it's something that we have to commit and remind ourselves. If you want greatness, if you want to succeed, if you want all of these things, built on top of the devotional life is going to be that necessity for frequent mortifications. So, Sam, why don't you share a little bit of your thoughts on the sacrificial life and its inner meanings?
Yeah. Well, I think the heart of sacrifice to me is to make something holy. Even the word sacrifice has this root word of sacred underneath it, where it's like we're taking something and we're setting it aside for a higher purpose. And everything we have comes from God. Sacrifice is an act of returning at least a portion of it back to God in thanksgiving and praise and gratitude for what he's given us. I think another important dimension of this is sacrifice doesn't mean you're having to give up something bad. Sometimes it means giving up something good for a greater good. So sacrificing a lesser good for a greater good. For example, sleep. Sleep is a good. We all need sleep. And there's a lot of scientific evidence about the benefits of sleep. But sometimes you're called to sacrifice a portion of your sleep in order to give time back to God. And so that's another example is fasting. Food is a good. Eating is a good. It provides nourishment and sustenance to your body. But sometimes there's a higher good that we're pursuing, and that requires fasting. That requires making a sacrifice of these lesser goods for a higher good. And so when we look at our life, like it's not about, you know, self-punishment or things like that. It's about making space for our heart to return to God and for God to enter into our life so that we can then, again, love our neighbor the way that we are called to do. And that's hard. Like, that sometimes that's painful to our nature. I mean, yeah, great joy can also follow that. Great joy is given to us in return, you know, and like, and I love that when Jesus was telling the disciples, you know, they were kind of like looking around at all of the sacrifices they were having to make. And they're like, Lord, like, we've given up so much to follow you, you know? And he's like, there's no sacrifice. I'm paraphrasing a bit, you know, but you're sacrificing a little bit, but I assure you that what you'll receive in return is far greater, you know? And he basically reminds the disciples that all of the sacrifices are preparing the way for an even greater joy than those lesser goods could have provided. So, I mean, that's kind of the heart of sacrifice to me.
Yeah, no, it's so good. And I think that we're not Stoics. We're not Gnostics. Like you were saying, you got into the, you know, all things good. God created all and it is good. And we're giving up a certain good for a greater good. And that's a really good reminder, especially when we're fasting, right? We're not fasting from food because food is bad. Addiction to foods and gluttony and these sort of things. Sure, that is. But we also don't want to love the creatures. We want to love the creator. We don't want to love the things. We want to love God who gives us those things. Again, all going back to love within that essence of sacrifice. So, Devin, really what other reminders do we have here for the sacrificial life?
So I love what both of you are saying about sacrificing the less good for the greater good. What is the greater good? The greater good is the indwelling of God within me. God becoming, in a sense, incarnational in me. So it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And so, I mean, this is a crude analogy, but I think our souls are a little bit like garages. You know, the garage kind of gets the boxes that have been unpacked. The garage gets all the leftovers. The garage, and pretty soon you can't park your car in the garage, and then you got a cold winter frost, and then you got to scrape your windshield, right? And so the idea with the garage is you got to clean up the garage. You got to get the junk out of the garage. Well, that's what sacrifice is all about. Sacrifice is getting some of that junk out of your garage, which is your soul, and allowing that to allowing yourself to have room for God to dwell in you powerfully. And this is what I notice when I fast, when I skip a meal, when I take a cold shower, whatever that, when I skip on sleep a little bit, whatever it is, I make room for God and I almost can feel it tangibly. I can start to feel him living in me in a way. I'm more charitable. I'm more patient. You know, all those things come to fruition. So I think that it's like you said, if you cannot say no to your passions, then you cannot say yes to God truly. You are a slave to your passions rather than being a slave to Christ. And when we're slave to Christ, we're actually sons of Christ because he wants to empower us. So I think the principle is this, John 12:24, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he's sacrificed, he becomes magnetic. He draws all people to himself. So when we become more sacrificial, God is in us to such an incredible, powerful level that we truly become magnetic for him. And I'm telling you, we need to be magnetic for him. We need to pull the world out of darkness back to the light. So I think sacrifice is basically, like you said, Sam, it is offering something, making it sacred to God. But the key is that we need to figure out how to do this on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis.
Yeah, no, I very much agree. And moving on to that daily, weekly, and monthly, I'll just throw out a couple of my own thoughts, right? I am a big fan, and actually I'm going to strongly encourage. I was sitting down with Father Ripperger not too long ago, just a week or so ago, and he just reiterated something that my spiritual director over a decade ago told me, is that men need to practice some sort of daily mortification, yes. Something that you are doing every single day, not just limiting to yourself to every once in a while. And so those daily mortifications can be anything from like three Hail Marys in the cold shower, right? At the end of your shower, you want to turn it on to cold and walk in a circle and say three Hail Marys. If you want to do a pebble in your shoe, I live here in Texas. And another one that I've done frequently is I turn down the AC in the summer, right? So to not turn it up, I turn it down, right? So that it's hot. I start getting a little sweaty. I do this when I drive home, you know, to work and all of these sort of things. These are all little mortifications that you can be doing every single day. It could be something as simple as you are not going to have seconds at lunch. It could be something that, hey, this portion of the meal I don't like as much, and that's what I'm going to require myself to eat a little bit more of. Now, I like things like the cold shower. I like things that are just very easy for my dumb brain to not forget, but it is something that we all have to commit to, is some sort of daily mortification. Finally, I'll just state, when I turn to weekly, it's got to be fasting. We've talked about it so many. We've got many episodes. Sam and I have discussed this so long, is that you have to be fasting weekly. You have to give up one day, if not 2 days a week, that you are fasting every week of the year, not just something that you do during Lent, but it has to be something that is not episodic. You can truly, and you have to take my word on it. When you start doing this for months and for years, the graces that you experience, the transformation that you experience, the ability to control other areas of your life, like lustful temptations and things like that, just become easier because you're learning to tell yourself no to something like hunger on a regular basis. And when your body learns that it's not going to get what it wants, you become more in control, with God's grace, of course, to become the man that you were created to be. So, Sam, what are some other sacrificial practices that you do?
Yeah, two quick things that I think everything John is saying, I don't want to add too many more, but like what I will say is attention is a sacrifice. That's why we say you have to pay attention, because there's like a cost involved in being fully present, right? So that can be like, I'm just outside on a beautiful day. We've had some beautiful weather lately here in Oklahoma. I'm outside on a beautiful day. Maybe my phone is in my pocket and like my little monkey mind is like, grab the phone and check your email or scroll social media or something. And I say, no, I am going to pay attention. I'm going to look at that blue sky and maybe say an Our Father, and remember God's presence here. I'm going to take in the beauty of God's creation, and I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to make a sacrifice of praise rather than succumb to the dopamine in my brain. The other thing is being present to people in your life. Like, it is a sacrifice. If you want to be fully present to the people in your life, to your wife, your kids, and you know, the kids can be very hungry for attention, right? So it's like paying attention to your kids rather than just shooing them away or whatever. Or your wife wants to talk after a long day and like you just want to veg out, but she wants to talk. Like, make that sacrifice, be present. But also loving the people you like the least, that can be a huge sacrifice, right? Like, there's that coworker that really annoys you, or family. Like, family are those people in our life that you can't escape sometimes, or it's like, maybe they really, you have a, maybe your mom or your dad, they really annoy you or frustrate you sometimes, or your brother or your sister. And you don't want to, you just kind of want to tune them out, ignore them, cut them out of your life, whatever. But instead, you choose the way of making a sacrifice, answering that phone call, engaging with them when you'd rather not, whatever. Like, learn to make those sacrifices. And believe me, it's harder than it sounds. Sometimes it's even harder than taking a cold shower or something, because you have to show up and love your neighbor. So those are the two that I want to highlight.
Really appreciate that, Sam. So Devin, any final thoughts before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, again, just look at your, you know, your daily, your weekly, your monthly sacrifices. So on a weekly basis, this might sound strange, but your weekly sacrifice should be a sacrifice of praise. So you attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass on Sunday, celebrate that day. It's the day of the resurrection, the day of the Lord, celebrate. Treat yourself to something, treat your family to something, and celebrate. It's a sacrifice of praise, but don't do that if you haven't sacrificed in your body, mortifying your flesh during the week. So some simple, like you're saying, just look at your day from the time you get up to the time you go to bed and look at all the things you experience. So snacking, if you're just beginning, give up snacking. If you're beyond that, then give up a meal. Or maybe do the fast of two small meals and one large meal, or just one large meal a day. But choose something with food. Choose something with drink. Just drink water, you know, instead of pop and whatever else. Maybe have the coffee in the morning, you know. And then cut out.
Pop this is soda, big. By the way.
Pop, yeah. Sorry, I'm up north, yeah. But the scrolling on the phone, cut out social media, the silent time in the car, from the commutes to and from work, use that for prayer. You know, just all you have to do in your daily, your daily examination is look at all the ways that you attempt to numb yourself with comfort, and then just start to systematically pull back on each of them a little bit. If you can't take a cold shower, take a slightly less warm shower, and eventually get to the lukewarm shower, et cetera, et cetera.
Excellent. Yeah, don't give up, right? I love that. Wow, so great to have you two join us, join me on this call. I mean, it is on this podcast. I just, pearls. I love it. So moving on to the next pillar here that's so important for men is the physical. And we see this today here, right? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within
you,
which you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And that is what we're called to do there from 1 Corinthians. But we just don't see this in our society here in America. We have a comfort crisis. We have a casualness crisis. We have a convenience crisis, all these C's. But it is, it's true. We talk about it so frequently is that we don't understand. And I'm not, yes, daily exercise is one of them, but one of the other things that we talk about, and we did a full session, full month on it in Catholic Gentleman Plus, is your outward appearance, your dressing with dignity. That we talk about eating, which we kind of already have alluded to in fasting. And so I'm going to pause right there and just turn to you, Devin, and say, why don't you set the stage, or why don't you build on what I just mentioned here for the physical life of men?
First of all, that was the scripture I go to as well. We are temples of God. God is in us, and God gave us our bodies to express our person. And I'm not saying that there aren't outlying reasons like such as thyroid cancer or health problems or whatever it is that can deplete our physical appearance and our ability to take care of our body, but we should try. We should try. And what this means is, so the body oftentimes fatigues the soul. And what I mean by that is if we overly feed the body, overly stimulate the body, overly fill the body with things that the body does not need, it weighs the soul down from ascending to God. Because what we're doing is we're constantly turning to those things which numb the soul from its acute kind of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that we're called to run the race. you know, and only one wins the prize, right? So run the race. So basically, this just involves simple things like look at your diet, you know, look at your diet, look at your exercise, look at the way you dress, and look at the way you rest. So diet, the way you dress, the way you exercise, the way you rest. To me, those are kind of the four categories of this physical body. The body, as St. John Paul II says, reflects the inner person. And I think that this is why men, as men, we tend to superfluously or superficially respect men who have great bodies, great physique, where they work out. I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying there's a natural instinct in us to do that. Why? Because the body, when it's sculpted right, it speaks to us of self-mastery. Now, that self-mastery, though, has to be from the soul being expressed through the body. And that's why it's so important that we take care of the body so that we can lift the burden from the soul so the soul can actually sacrifice.
Yeah, so well stated. Sam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think part of this, the reason this is important, especially for men, is that if you look at men just scientifically, biologically, like I know this is really unpopular to say, but like men are almost always bigger and stronger than women. And so there is a certain physical advantage that we have. But with that comes responsibility, right? Like if you see I remember watching a recent TV show, and there was like a man and a woman walking down the sidewalk, and a man just towered over the woman. And this was supposed to be like a strong, powerful woman that was like kicking butts and stuff. But like the man was just so much bigger and his shoulders were broader, and like just everything about this guy was just obviously different and bigger than this woman. But again, like that strength is to be used for service, right? And there used to be this very traditional idea of like women and children first, like the Titanic is sinking. And like women and children into the lifeboats first. Like the men are the ones to make the sacrifice. They are the ones to lift others up and save others, or, you know, lead others to safety. And again, like, and this is just instinctual. We just know this. Wow. I saw it was in Texas, John, in your lovely country down there. There's a flood. and there was this photo in the newspaper of this big strapping guy carrying a woman to safety through the floodwaters. And I will just say that in a moment like that, where it's life and death, all the gender ideology and everything like that just falls away. And that guy just carries that woman to safety. And it's just, it's natural and it makes sense. And so what I would say is, like, for your physical being, be strong enough to save someone else, you know, like make that like the baseline, like, are you strong enough to carry someone to safety? If you're not, like if you're in such bad shape that you can't rescue your wife or children from like a dangerous situation, like you probably have some work to do, right? But if, you know, like we're not all called to be bodybuilders or, you know, athletes or football players or whatever. You know, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, but I try to take care of myself in order to be able to protect my family, defend my family if necessary, rescue them if necessary. Like, I think that's like something that we're called to is men, because we are given this biological, like this biological, I hate to use the word advantage, but this size or this strength that isn't biologically natural to women. So there's responsibility that comes with that. So take care of your body enough that you can be there for others if needed. And to me, that's like a good baseline measurement of like, am I fit enough? Even the word fit, like fitness culture, I think fit for what? Like fit implies an adaptation to a certain task, right? Like mostly people of this think it's like fit to be sexy or something, but really it should be for a specific purpose. Like, why are you doing this? Right? Like, what is the purpose? And I think it should be in order for us to serve others if needed. And so to me, that's kind of where my mind goes when I think of like this physical development. Obviously there's a spiritual component to it, but I think that's part of the way God designed us as men.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, you brought up that picture and it was, I just instinctively grabbed her to save her life. I was shocked that the photographer was there to see me do that. I'm just joking. So obviously that was not me, but I affirm.
She should have been carrying him to safety. I mean, come on. It's the 21st century.
That's right. Oh, so I do. I want to just add to what you were stating and just, you know, kind of the joke, kind of remind us of the importance of our own dignity, right? And the fact that we're a body, mind, soul individual, and that when you take care of your body, you feel more confident, you feel better. We talk about this all the time, how anxiety is felt in the stomach, right? There's always a location that you can feel it physically. The reverse is true. When you're physically taking care of yourself, you can do more, you can be more, and you feel like you can accomplish more. And that's such a great thing, right? When you're taking care of yourself. In addition, I just want to bring that up, is be the man that, that as St. Francis de Sales states, is the one that is the best dressed, but the least adorned, right? It's not flashy. It's not overdone, but he's put together. He's a man of confidence. He's a man that other people, they feel they can talk to, right? And that in this society of casualness, you need to question yourself about that. Is like, do I wear flip-flops and shorts to go to mass because I want to fit in, or I don't want to actually dress up and stuff like this? Remember who you're going before the throne of God there in the Eucharist. You are actually going to receive him, and he's going to abide in you physically for like 10 to 15 minutes after receiving him. And if this doesn't affect you deeply, you need to pause and really take that to prayer. Go back to that devotional life that we talked about at the beginning and start right there. So, Devin, any other additional thoughts of physical before we move on to the last one for this public edition?
I just think set up, be very practical in your practices. So with your food, just maybe it's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays that instead of lunch, you have a protein shake, you know, maybe you have green food in the morning. You know, I subscribe to green food. It's very healing, but make sure that you've got your diet in place. But then also as far as physicality, get your anaerobic and your aerobic routine together. So Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, maybe you run a mile or you rebound. Rebounding is awesome for your organs. It's awesome for your blood circulation. It sounds kind of wimpy, but 15 minutes a day, man, my daughter, she was rebounding and they went out to the dunes and she killed all the guys, my son-in-laws, climbed that dune faster than all of them. And all she does is rebound, you know? And so, you know, just have your HIIT workout, maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but have your anaerobic workout, because this is the key. As men, we have far more muscle tone than women. And that if you increase your muscle tone, it increases your metabolism, it decreases your body fat, and it'll increase your energy and the endorphins, which are released. So you don't have to go join a gym. Keep it simple. Maybe get a couple Bowflex adjustable dumbbells where you can adjust between 10 and 50 pounds and just get an exercise routine at home, get a rebounder, and go for it. But make sure that you're doing something. And if you're stuck in a cubicle all day, then bring those Bowflex dumbbells to your cubicle, or at least drop down and do sets of push-ups with sets of squats and alternate, but just don't be sedentary, you know? So set up your office gym or your home gym in your little 10-foot by 10-foot space and go for it. Because if you don't, this is what I tell my kids now, if you don't invest in your body now, your body will punish you later. Okay. And I want to be around for my grandkids. I want to be around for my wife. I want to be active and be able to play and all that stuff. So it's very important that we do this. And obviously rest is a big part of this. So figure out how many hours of rest you need, not you want, but you need, and stick to that. Get that rest routine down, get that exercise routine down, put it in the slots, and you won't believe how well you feel after about 60 days of this. You'll feel like a new man.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I appreciate that, Devin. And I'm just going to add before moving on to this last one is that start small, right? Start where you're at. If you're not a guy that has worked out in the last 5 years, don't expect yourself to be able to hit five a week, you know, that sort of thing. So start small. Start with one a week, you know, a Saturday when you have a little bit more time. So that being said, we want to move on to the last and final pillar here within the public edition of this episode, and that is on relationship. That's your vocation, right? It's this acts of intentional service that you do for your family and human relationships. This all goes back to what we've been talking talking about here is that we were created to love. We were created to love God in that relationship. We're created to love others. And so our vocation is here to point you to the good. Whether you're religious or married, the vocation is designed to point you to the greater good, right? And so as Thomas Aquinas talks about, that is the intent and that is the goal, is to be sanctified so that we can become better. And so it's so important. And I want to turn to you, Sam. I want to get your thoughts here on the relationship aspect of our lives as men.
Yeah, the relationships are so important. I love what Mother Teresa said. She said, well, we could all be saints if it weren't for other people. And I think that about sums it up, where it's like, it just feels like a thorn in our side sometimes. Like, man, if I were just alone, like I could just ascend the heights. Right. But in reality, like it's the very frictions in relationships that are the path to holiness, in the sense that, yes, we are called to love God. But we're also called to love our neighbor. And more often than not, we're called to love God through our neighbor. And there's these beautiful stories in our tradition of these saints who encountered people and they were loving those people, even though they were very difficult to love. And then come to find out, it was actually Christ in disguise or an angel in disguise or something. And they only found that out later. But these stories are important because they're telling us that Christ isn't our neighbor. You know, Christ is, and yet, like, we do love Christ through our neighbor. And often those neighbors are those ones that are the most difficult to love. The people that we just meet in passing, like at the grocery store or, you know, running errands, like, they come and go, right? But the people that are close to us, that are in our life day in and day out, again, our nuclear family maybe, but also our extended family, like those people that you didn't choose and you can't escape, like those are the ones that we're called to love the most. And so for me, it's like this is a spiritual exercise. See it as like, you know, we talk about the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius, but this is a spiritual exercise to love your neighbor and can do immense good to your soul. And as, you know, St. John the Apostle reminds us, you know, like if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how can you claim to love God who you've never seen? And so it's immensely important. Like, and it, to me, it's the heart of the gospel. Like, if you go to, especially John's epistles, I think, you know, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, like, but the Apostle John is the apostle of love, right? But St. James and St. Paul, like, they're always talking about love one another, love one another. And this was constantly on Christ's lips as well. Love one another. And it's not this warm, fuzzy feeling a lot of times. Love is a struggle. And that's something we like. We want love to be just like this overflowing compassion where we just, you know, just feel these wonderful feelings for everyone. But actually, love is it's like a verb. It is a verb. Like, struggle with it. Struggle to love that person right in front of you. And that's holiness. There's people in your church, your school, you know, your family, your workplace, they're all hungering for love. Show up for them. And it will be a spiritual exercise that will greatly expand your heart.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Sam. So, Devin, why don't you talk a little bit about relationships? And while you're talking about it, go ahead and add into practices for us to finish this public edition here.
So we've talked about devotional, and then we've talked about sacrificial, and then we talked about physical. And that's all a kind of about us. And now we're moving into relational. So what's going on here is that personal transformation, for it to be real, must lead to relational transformation. Our relationships must be transformed, which, as Sam says, we must enter in and learn to love. And you only love that, you sacrifice for that which you love. So the point here is, I think that's very well taken, a great point made by Sam, but relational transformation is the litmus test to whether or not your relationship with God is real. Okay. So to the level that you are in love with God and being loved by God, allowing yourself to be loved by God and loving God in return, is going to be demonstrating your relationships. Okay. So this is extremely important. So what can we do practically? Well, let's begin with the nuclear family. Let's begin with our family, you know, with the wife, a weekly date night, 10-minute couch time every night with our children, daughter dates, and son time, you know, maybe like hunting or working side by side, you know, schedule. Those are weekly things, you know, daughter date or biweekly, working on a project with your son. That's kind of like a weekly thing, or get it on the schedule. If you don't schedule it, you'll never do it. Your weekly date night, get it on the schedule. If you don't get it on the schedule, you will never do it. But one daily thing you can do, a practice, is bless your children and bless your wife every day. Every night is when I do it. And then also be very intentional. Don't tell anybody you're doing this, but be very intentional about acts of encouragement toward your wife and toward your children. So this is where you actually try to be as genuine as possible, but tell your wife she's beautiful, you know, or tell her you're so thankful that you married her. Tell your kids, wow, you look great in that, or great job on this, or thank you for taking out the trash. And if you're one of these guys that it just doesn't come naturally, write down your days that you're going to do it. Or if you don't want to do it in person at first, build up by sending them a text, send me an email. It's much better in person, but at least that might get you warmed up to this idea. But I think that the if you begin to do this, don't try to build relationships outside of your home if you're not building the relationships inside of your home. Okay. So begin there. And then as you get empowered in your relationship with your wife and your children, then you can be able to establish some of these principles with your friends. So it's a monthly coffee, you know, time with your buddy, right? Or bourbon time and beer with your buddy. You offer an act of encouragement. Notice what's going on in their life. But I think most of all, with our children and with our wife, we need to choose them versus just accept them. Okay? It's a big deal. Big deal, because we accept our family. They kind of live in the same quarters as us, but we have to be intentional about how we choose them and show that we've chosen them. And that's by blessing, dates, daughter dates, spending time with our sons, sacrificing our time for them. And by doing so, they're like, wow, my father, my husband loves me. He's sacrificing his time, what he wants to do for me.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I'm really grateful, and I'm grateful for all our listeners here who've gone through these first four pillars of our power plan to always live successfully and to grow in holiness. So at the end of each episode, we like to talk about putting on the new man, and that's because men who are pursuing holiness, men who are striving for holiness, are men of action. And it's really important for us to give these little tools to know that we're doing that and know that we're moving forward. So in line with this episode right here, Devin, why don't you share what the putting on the new man is going to be for this week?
Yes. So I think take two of the pillars of the four that we've mentioned and find one to two practices in each one that you can begin implementing at even a small level over the course of the next 2 weeks. And you're going to fall, you're going to fail, but you keep going with those and get it to where you're developing it to where you can keep going. Eventually, then you can add in other practices. So just pick your two categories, whether it's sacrificial, devotional, physical, you know, relational. Pick one to two practices in those two categories each, and then just live them out for the next 2 weeks.
Awesome. Well, I'm really grateful. And so if you are interested in learning more, head over to CatholicGentlemanPlus.com, where we are going to be diving into the next four pillars here, which are going to be occupational, intellectual, recreational, and financial. And you can figure out what we mean by all those things and how we as men pursuing holiness can seek to achieve them and to accomplish them successfully. So with all of that being said, thank you so very much for joining us. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer on these shows, just email us at podcast@catholicgentleman.com. Send us that question. We've received some great questions from you men. Actually, some of them have given us the foundations of these episodes. And so please continue to let us know what you want us to talk about there at podcast@catholicgentleman.com. We'll even play them on our episode if you do it via audio recording. Yeah, send them our way. We love receiving those. And as we end each of our episodes,
be a man, be a saint.